You're listening to Under the Pavement on 96.9 All FM. Alternative radio for Manchester's radical and activist community. Listen online at www.underthepavement.org. The views expressed on Under the Pavement are not necessarily those of All FM. The views expressed on All FM are not necessarily those of Under the Pavement.
So high. Fat and docile, big and dumb, they look so stupid, they aren't much fun. Cows aren't fun. They eat to grow, grow to die. Die to be et at the hamburger fry. Cows well done. Nobody thunk it. Nobody knew. No one imagined the great cow guru. Cows are one. He hid in the forest, read books with great zeal. He loved Che Guevara, a revolutionary veal. Cows say tongue. He spoke about justice, but nobody stirred. He felt like an outcast, alone in the herd. Cowed all drums. He mooed, we must fight, escape or we'll die. Cows gathered around, cause the stakes were so high. Bad cow pun. But then he was captured, stuffed into a crate, loaded onto a truck where he rode to his fate. Cows are bummed. He was a scrawny calf who looked rather woozy. No one suspected he was packing an Uzi. Cows with guns. They came with a needle to stick in his thigh. He kicked for the groin. He pissed in their eye. Cow well hung. Knocked over a tractor and ran for the door. 6 gallons of gas flowed out on the floor. Run, cows, run. He picked up a bullhorn and jumped up on the hay. We are free-roving bovines. We run free today.
We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Cows with guns.
They crashed the gate in a great stampede, tipped over milk truck, torched all the feed. Cows have fun. 60 police cars were piled in a heap, covered in cow pies, covered up deep. Much cow dung. Black smoke rising, darkening in the day. 12 burning McDonald's. Have it your way.
We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die.
Cows with guns. The president said, enough is enough, these uppity cattle, it's time to get tough. Cow dung flung. The newspapers gloated, folks sighed with relief. Tomorrow at noon, they would all be ground beef. Cows on buns. The cows were surrounded, they waited and prayed. They mooed their last moos, they chewed their last hay. Cows outgunned. The order was given to turn cows to whoppers, enforced by the might of 10,000 coppers. But on the horizon, surrounding the shoppers, came the deafening roar of chickens in choppers.
We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or dog.
Oh, oh. Cows with guns.
And hello and good evening. You are listening to Under the Pavement on OLFM 96.9. And just to say thank you to Terry for the Caribbean Carnival show, which hopefully kept you entertained for the last couple of hours. That's on every Monday between 7 and 9 on OLFM 96.9 across sort of South Manchester. And don't forget, you can also listen online at www.olfm.org.
And tonight's Under the Pavement is a bit different from normal, because tonight we're having a vegan special. Because tomorrow's World Vegan Day, and the show's presented usually by three vegans, but there's only two of us today, so it's going to be a bit different from normal. We've got lots of guests in the studio who we'll be talking to in a few minutes, and we've got a competition, which we'll tell you more about later, but there's beer, cake and food, among other things, to be won.
Yep, and anyway, in a few minutes we'll be joined by Kathy, who's from the Vegan Society here in Manchester, and also Yoni from Vegan Fitness and Helen from the Manchester Animal Protection Group, and they'll all be talking about veganism and also sort of how veganism links in with fitness and things like politics and anarchism and animal rights.
And in stereo.
Yeah.
we'll have a What's On guide at 10 o'clock as usual, but it's going to be a bit shorter than normal, and a very quick gig guide at 10:30 as well.
Yeah, and we did mention earlier that we do have a competition lined up where you can win lots of stuff. We will mention what you can win, but one of the things that you can win is a CD by Bob Pyle, who's an American singer-songwriter. And the first track we're going to play from Bob Pyle, well, the sort of track we're going to play, is called Apples and Oranges.
Apples, oranges. I grew up in an ethnic home and food was everywhere. Our idea of a vegetable's a chocolate eclair. Salami, pastrami, cannoli, stromboli, from liver to liverwurst. Kielbasa, salumpi, pierogies, galumpkies, I thought that I would burst. Then one day I saw that I could choose what's best for me when it comes to food. And now it's apples and oranges, peaches and porridges, mangoes and marzipan, tofu frying in a pan, and jelly made from eucalyptus, spread on homemade whole wheat biscuits. It took me long enough to see
that it was
dogs and manicotti, and so much macaroni, we all look just like John Gotti. Grandma got her dinner from a truck called Eels on Wheels. Grandpa boiled army boots and tried to eat the heels. Grandpa swore until his later days that anything tasted good with a mayonnaise. But now it's apples and apples and oranges for me. Oh, I used to like linguine with a little tetrazzini, or a bowl of ricotta put upon an enchilada.
salami and bologna. Oh, but now I have changed my mind. I like salad with cilantro at a home or restaurant. Spinach, greens, and avocados, lima beans, or sweet potatoes. So please take away this crapple, cause I'd rather have an apple or something of that kind. Now I've improved my alkaloids and my glucocorticoids and fit into my corduroys without so much wriggling. I've lowered my cholesterol and gave away my geritol and jog around the shopping malls without so much higgling. My cousins Diane and Lorraine would visit on the train. Mom asked, would you like steak, Diane, or some quiche, Lorraine? But with that sardonic temperament, he asked for clams instead. And he ate so much seafood, he had muscles in his head. Hey, I ain't trying to cast asparagus on anyone. Cucumbers, cauliflower, seaweed soup that's sweet and sour. Kidney beans and Chinese cabbage. Carrot cake with 14 carrots. Lettuce, leeks, and pinto beans. Wheatgrass, waffles, turnip greens. That's what I have on my mind. Pomegranates and persimmons. Apple pie parade with lemons. Cantaloupe and watermelons. Jams and jellies that are jelly. I don't need your metamucil, liver oil, or princess oil. Because now I am feeling fine. Well, here we are, Napoleon, back in the old neighborhood. In fact, I used to live on that street over there. Oh, here comes a customer.
Hey, give me six oranges. Say, didn't you used to live on this street?
Yes, I remember.
And play the banjo on that step over there.
Yes, I remember.
And keep the whole neighborhood awake all night with your loud singing.
I can't remember.
Well, what have you been doing with yourself?
Well, you might say I've gone into traveling sales.
And now it's apples and oranges, peaches and porridges, mangoes and marzipan,
oil, beech and raisin bran,
jelly made from eucalyptus, spread on homemade whole wheat biscuits. It took me long enough to see
that it was
apples and oranges
from down in sunny Florida, yes.
Come on, Napoleon. Let's go home.
I'm waiting to see who's going to say that. That was Bob Powell with Apples and Oranges from his self-titled album.
And we'll be giving away a copy of that in our competition a bit later on, so keep listening for details of how to enter.
OK, now, it is October the 31st, and as well as being sort of Halloween, it's the day before World Vegan Day, which happens on the 1st of November every year, and because Under the Pavement is always ahead of the pack, we sort of celebrate things a day early. And one of the questions we'll be asking people is, what actually is a vegan? So lined up in front of us, we've got three guests who I hope are going to say hello as we introduce the names. There's Kathy from the Vegan Society here in Manchester.
Hello.
And there's Yoni from Vegan Fitness.
Hi, Em.
And there's Helen, who's from the Manchester Animal Protection Group.
Hello.
Okay, then. So, if Kathy, as you're sort of representing the Vegan Society, it might be a good step to say sort of what exactly is or isn't a vegan.
Well, this is the easy bit, really. A vegan is quite simply someone who doesn't eat anything that comes from an animal at all. So, no meat and fish, that's the obvious things. Dairy, no eggs, nothing like that. Also, things like honey and gelatine and casein that people might not think about. But basically, people who don't need to eat any animal products at all, and it's that simple.
Yep. Okay, then. So one of the things, though, is that I know the Vegan Society is a campaign at the moment. Campaign might not be the right word, but it's... Would you say campaign?
I would. I think it's a very positive thing. The typical vegan campaign.
It is, yeah.
Well, often people have a stereotypical image of vegans as all being sort of terribly super fit or terribly sort of thin and sort of humourless, and that's just a rubbish stereotype. It's not true at all. We come in all sorts of shapes, sizes, fitness levels, all walks of life. We're very diverse, and I think that's something to celebrate, just how different we are. We've got a very fit vegan sitting right next to me. He'll be talking in a bit. I'm a sort of cuddly, arthritic, tea and a cup of tea and a slice of cake type vegan, you know, and we're all different, and I think that's a very positive thing. And the campaign is just to show that anyone can be vegan. It's for everyone.
Yep, and I think that's one of the key things, is saying that people will come to veganism from a lot of different reasons. So, for example, how I got sort of interested in it was through the anarchist punk scene. And at the time, I was living in sort of Bradford, and there were lots of bands like Chumbawamba and the Squat Scene. And, you know, veganism was quite a big part of that, animal rights, etc. So just the next question then, really, is just to say, linking to what you're saying, Kathy, how did you get involved or interested in veganism?
Through all kinds of ways, really. I mean, some people, it is, as you say, politics, or it's animal welfare, or it's spiritual religion, or it's the environment, or it's a mixture of all of those. And for me, it was all of them, particularly the animal welfare, but also the political and environmental side of it. And it was about 6 years ago, I saw a Living with the Enemy programme, and it was a terrible reality TV thing, but John Curtin, the vegan on it, just made me have so much respect for veganism, and I made the change 6 years ago.
Yeah. Well, sat next year is Yoni. Yeah. Who's from a group called Vegan Fitness here in Manchester again. So how did you sort of get interested and sort of become aware then of veganism?
I used to be a keen hunter, and you know, so I have that kind of background. And I used to be a very like environmentalist at heart. You know, love walking in nature and love all things nature. And so I kind of like got into vegetarianism because of that, the environmental angle. But then because I got hold of different kind of vegetarian material that. They had a lot of information about the factory farming, which I didn't really know anything about. So then the animal reasons became kind of like the number one reason quite quickly.
Yep. And so finally, Helen from Manchester Animal Protection.
Well, I always liked being around dogs from a very young child. And I got my first dog when I was 13 years old. And just having a relationship with him challenged my views of other animals as well. And that's when I went veggie. I was also influenced very much by my eldest brother, who came back from university as a vegan. And so he sort of opened up the opportunities that there was something else and that vegetarianism existed. The veganism was an inevitability, really. It was just a matter of when that was going to happen. So veggie from 13 and then vegan at 18 when I met Manchester Animal Protection. I got involved in the local group myself. And then I suppose, if I'm honest, it was peer pressure that was the catalyst for when it actually happened. But it was just waiting to happen anyway, really.
Yeah, OK. Now, that sort of links up, because it might be something that I think you mentioned, sort of people don't often think about the different aspects of sort of veganism, as in there is quite a lot going on. So it sort of links in with the competition, where the prizes that we're giving away are all sort of vegan. And one is we've got the Bob Powell CD, which is a... Cod Apples and Oranges. We've also got some sort of ethical wares. They're a company based down somewhere in Wales, I think. Does anyone know? Yeah. And as they do a range of stuff, but they've given us some foam baths, some moisturisers, some shower gels, some shampoo and some conditioner and some soap. Wow. And obviously the reason for that is because a lot of soaps sort of contain animal fats, and a lot of products will be tested on animals or whatever. So that's the reason for that. So what we're trying to do now is give people who maybe haven't thought about veganism an opportunity to sort of be aware and try different things and know that it isn't so sort of all, what's the saying, sackcloth and ashes.
Yes, where you look as if you're punishing yourself. It's a positive thing and increases your choices.
Yep. And then sort of also there's a company called Redwoods Foods, which I think is based down in London, and they've given us a voucher for £25 worth of food. I wonder what I was going to say then. I think I was going to say stuff, but it's food. And then Zed's Foods as well have offered us a vegan Christmas cake, because obviously lots of cakes that contain stuff that have sort of eggs and milk and butter in, but it's 100% vegan cake, as everything is that we're giving away. And then finally, and this sits in quite well, we're talking about vegan fitness and then going the opposite, one of the prizes we're giving away is 24 bottles of organic beer from the feed. I can't even say it now.
Freedom Brewery.
That's the word I was looking for. Down in... I don't know where they're from. I think they're down in London somewhere.
And that's organic beer as well as vegan.
It is,
so.
Yeah. And they have all the... I mean, the reason why sort of beer and wine might not be vegan is often in the processing, especially the filtering. I think a lot of real ales will use sort of icing glass, which is what is it? It's a fish.
It's fish bladder.
Yeah.
It?
Mm-hmm. You know, so it's all...
It's dirty. Bladder. It's the swim bladder of a fish.
It's dirty.
Yeah. So that's all sort of the prizes that we've got. And what we've suggested is that obviously some people might want it all, but some people might not want bits of it. So if you, well, we've decided people can either ring in, and we'll give the phone number in a minute, or That's if you're sort of listening either live online at www.allfm.org and listening on LFM 96.9 across South Manchester, or you can actually email in at radio@underthepavement.org. And I think, did we say we're going to go in the competition till the 14th of November?
Yeah, we're going to announce the winners on the next show, so you've got 2 weeks to enter if you want to enter by email. But you can get in early and phone us in the studio tonight if you want to get your entry in now.
Yeah. Can I just give a tip before you give the question?
Go on.
No, it's just saying, sort of, it's good to ring up when music is going on because it's quite hard. It's quite a small studio, so it's good to sort of get in whilst music is on rather than while we're talking.
And if you can't get through, keep trying, or just get on the email and send us an email. We'll give out the email address. Are we using the radio under the pavement one?
It is, that's it. And if you put in the subject what you'd like to win, as in everything, or beer, or cake.
Yeah. Or soap. Or,
yeah.
So should we give out the question then?
Should we give the phone number first and then the question?
OK, the phone number's 2486767. It's 2486767. And the question is...
Can I just say something else before? One final thing. It's just because if you're listening, sort of, because you can listen online from miles away, some of the prizes you'd have to pick up from central Manchester. It's like the beer and the cake and the something else, the cosmetics, is quite a weighty thing, so we can't post it out. So you can either pick it up from the station or somewhere in central Manchester. And now I'll let you say the question.
OK, the question is, what do many vegans often drink as an alternative to cow's milk? What do many vegans often drink as an alternative to cow's milk? So if you know the answer and you want any of those prizes, the number to ring is 2486767.
Or you can email radio@underthepavement.org. And we did mention Christmas cake. So this sort of links into the song we're going to play next, the poem we're going to play next.
This is Benjamin Zephaniah.
Nice to your turkeys this Christmas, because turkeys just want to have fun. Turkeys are cool and turkeys are wicked, and every turkey has a mum. Be nice to your turkeys this Christmas. Don't eat it, keep it alive. It could be your mate and not on your plate. Say, yow, turkey, I'm on your side. I've got lots of friends who are turkeys, and all of them fear Christmas time. They say, Benjamin, hey, I want to enjoy it. But those humans have destroyed it. And those humans are out of their mind. Yes, I've got lots of friends who are turkeys, and all have the right to a life, not to be caged up and genetically made up by a farmer and his wife. No, turkeys just wanna play reggae. Turkeys just wanna hip-hop. Have you ever seen a nice young turkey saying, amen, I cannot wait for the chop? No, turkeys would like to get presents. Turkeys want to watch Christmas TV. Turkeys have brains and turkeys feel pain in many ways, like you and me. I once knew a turkey. His name was Turkey. He said, Benji, explain to me, please, who put the turkey in Christmas and what happens to Christmas trees? I said, I'm not too sure, Turkey, but it's got nothing to do with Christmas. No, humans get greedy and waste more than need be, and businessmen make lots of cash. So, be nice to your turkeys this Christmas. Invite them indoors for some greens. Let them eat cake. And let them partake in a plate of organic grown beans. Be nice to your turkeys this Christmas. And spare them the cut of the knife. Join Turkeys United. And they'll be delighted. And you will make new friends for life.
Under the pavement. 96.9
Who's going to talk?
That was MDC with Corporate Death Burger, and before that was Benjamin Zephaniah with Talking Turkeys.
Yeah. And I think, just talking, Benjamin Zephaniah, isn't he sort of honorary something of the...
He's patron of the Vegan Society.
That's exactly
really
what I meant.
Really nice bloke, yeah. As well, yeah.
Okay, so if we sort of move on then, sort of still with cafe, it's like we mentioned it a little bit earlier about the typical vegan campaign. So would you like to tell us a bit more about that? I think you've hinted at it, but...
Well, yes, it's just there is a feeling that we don't want to go around and make the Vegan Society about spin and about attracting people by glossy adverts with beautiful, in inverted commas, models and so on. I think our diversity is something to be celebrated, and the fact that we have loads of different skills, we're in all walks of life, all kinds of different shapes and sizes and fitness levels, and that that's a positive thing and nothing and something to be proud of. And it's just a good thing, really.
Yeah, and the next question is one that anyone who's a vegan is going to get asked all the time. And it's like, especially like if it comes up to sort of Christmas or anything, and where can people say, where should we go? And it's like, what do you eat? So this sort of links in with what we're going to do next, but, you know, I think we can open this to the three of you and say, well, when someone says to you, what do you eat, do you have a sort of stock answer? I know I don't. I tend to just... waffle on, as you might expect, but
I do have a stock answer, which is to tell them what I've had that day. So it's good when I've had something like, oh, I don't know, roasted mustardy red onions with mint and sesame couscous and mango soy cheesecake and raspberry coulis or something nice like that. Unfortunately, tonight I was freezing cold and I had veggie sausages, chips and mushy peas. But when I've had something more interesting, it often gets people's interest and they go, oh, I'd like to try that.
You know, I can't use that same because I'm a powerlifter, so it would take me about 20 minutes to list what I've been eating every day. But I do get that question asked quite often, especially because I'm maybe not the smallest of vegans, and because of powerlifting, you tend to pack on a lot of muscle and size. So I usually just tend to say, you know, I eat about, you know, there's about 6,000 edible plants on the planet, and, you know, and not to mention all the things you can make out of them. So the list is quite endless, and I try to throw in a couple delicious examples.
I have a few answers depending on what mood I'm in, really. Sometimes I say, oh, nothing with a face, you know, that's the brief answer. Or I might say, oh, same as you, really, but everything's substituted. You know, I don't eat the real buttocks, legs and limbs, etc. But I didn't give up eating meat because I didn't like the taste. I did like the taste. I was raised on it, therefore I enjoy the fake meat, sausage rolls, sausages, cheating chicken, cheating ham, cheese butties, whatever, obviously cheesely and plant-based milk.
Yeah, and that obviously links in very well with what we're going to do now. Because it's the...
It's handy.
I know. Great. Oh, the organisation that goes into this show is incredible. So what we've done is one of the people that we said is giving us competition prizes, £25 worth of vouchers from Redwood, which is a vegan food company. So we've got some sort of things to try in the studio. So this is going all woman's hour now, isn't it?
Oh, get the sausages open, for God's sake.
Yeah, come on. I was going to ask next, what's the order of stuff we do some things in, but instead, well, I don't know how we're going to do this.
Yeah, let's start with the sausages.
And these are you going to start trying one first and then pass them around? We'll see if they make the way around, because there's quite a lot of...
These look like they should be cooked, but
If you look, it says ready to eat, delicious. This is from Redwood Foods Veggie Deli range. It's the Lincolnshire-style sausages.
This is fit. Lots of cellulite powder in this.
Oh, that's nice. That is really nice,
isn't it,
actually.
They're not healthy, are they?
Are they healthy?
I'm sure they are healthy.
You can always eat them with a salad.
No hydrogenated fats. I think people should be talking now instead of...
talking with a mouthful.
Delicious.
I think they'd be better cooked, but they're pretty nice raw as well.
I was thinking for people who are doing like a cheating roast or something for Christmas, you know, some people have like sausages wrapped in bacon round the roast. You could wrap some cheating rashers round these, couldn't you, and then bake them with a the roast.
Mm. Quite meaty, aren't they, in the texture? Quite authentic.
You're sitting here eating like that.
I think they're a hit all around then.
Well, 11 out of 10, they're my favourite.
Well, we'll go next for some, again, I think, who was saying about Can you hear that as well? That's proper sound effects, that. Someone was talking about substitutes. Who was talking about substitutes? Someone was. And saying how, I mean, I'm not, you know, like if things taste too meaty,
I can smell that.
It can actually switch me off. So this one we're looking at now is something called the Redwoods Vegetarian Cheating Ham. And obviously it's sort of like ham slices.
It smells like ham, like in a good way, like kind of smoky and stuff.
Yeah.
Pass it on.
I'm familiar, but I'll, you know, I'll keep you company.
You just came for the food, didn't you?
Too right. Help myself to a disc of ham.
Well, we're supposed to celebrate. You know,
I'm not sure if we should always just say that these are cheating meats, because this kind of food have been eaten in, like, say, Far East. In Chinese food cultures, this kind of food has been eaten for like, you know, centuries, really. And so they're food on their own. But, of course, for us, in our dietary culture, it resembles meat by its texture, taste, and just how it feels like. So... But in a way, they are food in their own right. We don't always have to call them fake.
Actually, even in Britain, I mean, you go back sort of to the 15th century cookbooks and so on. I collect old cookbooks, so I often read these sort of things. You get loads of veggie rissoles and patties and things that today would be called veggie burgers. So there's actually a strong heritage of cuisine that's sort of, you can call meat substitutes, but Yoni's absolutely right. It is a food in its own right. And this ham, I'm thinking mustard in a sandwich, you know, pickles maybe. That'd be lovely. Really nice.
Okay, then, next up is, and I've never tried this one before, and this is the one called, what's it called? Cheating beef. And again, the look of it has, it's a bit mottledy sort of coloured. I don't know when they try, you know, when they try too hard to make it look a bit like... Especially, and it's one of these things where if someone gave it you and you didn't know it was vegan, it's like if you have the little gristly bits and you're chewing on it, they're going, are you sure? But what do people think?
I think it's quite useful to call it cheating beef and et cetera from a persuasive point of view, from a, you know, trying to encourage people to try something different, you know, because that is the way, what they're used to, you know, and I mean, I've fooled colleagues at work with these products.
Yeah.
And then they freaked them out even more by eating it in front of them.
Yeah.
And they're like, you can't eat that. And I'm like, oh, sod, it's Christmas, you know. And they're like, but you... And then they've eaten it and they've enjoyed it. And when I've shown them the box, they've nearly fallen off the chair. Yeah.
Now, that didn't have a stronger flavour because I thought it was going to be...
It's not as good. They've changed that, you know, and it's not as good.
This is my favourite so far, actually.
Is that your favourite? Yeah. Which one's that?
The beef. I don't like it.
You don't like it?
I'm not as keen. I would eat it, but I'm not as keen. I prefer the old style.
All right, this one next.
I'm finishing the packet then.
Should pass it over to you.
Hang on, we've got more coming on. Just calm down there. Next one up then is, and again, it's the vegetarian cheating chicken, and obviously it's meat-free and sort of vegan. Again, the sort of the shapes are all pretty much the same. It's just the colours that they sort of change. So it's like pink for the ham and a bit brown for...
It smells like chicken.
You see, that was the last meat I stopped eating was chicken. I sort of messed about quite a lot, really, with... never forget, my dad used to wind the window down and shout, mint sauce, at the lambs. And I asked my mum, why is my dad doing that? And my mum just turned round and said, but we put mint sauce on our lamb, don't we, Helen? And I was about 10 years old then, and the penny dropped. I thought, I can't believe that the thing you're encouraging me to look at and admire out there, cute, fluffy lamb, is the same thing that we're having on the table. So I stopped eating lamb quite young, and then, but I continued to eat chicken because I was just... Food's very habitual, isn't it? We tend to eat the same things most days, and now it's chips. And
For a lot of people, it's a journey, isn't it? I mean, I was vegetarian for, I think, 13 years before I went vegan, you know, then... And it does take time to change all your habits and to work out what you really believe as well.
And I think these fake meats and marketing them in such a way is quite a useful way to help people start on that journey.
Oh, yeah, it does help. I relied on them quite heavily when I first went vegetarian. Not ideal, perhaps, but it helped.
OK, so next then is those have all sort of pretended to be like sort of meaty. And this is like an alternative cheese. And it's actually... Redwoods, I think it was something that people who were vegan for a long time have been asking for a melty cheese. So this is like the melty mozzarella, which probably works more. I should pass it round and you can cut yourself a bit.
Listen for me cutting my finger live on air.
And you are, I think this is one of those that you are meant to, you know, have it like on cheese and toast and on pizzas.
Mm. Yeah, you can crate it on, yeah, on a pizza or something.
And it does melt quite well as
it
well.
It does melt, but you're never going to get stringy cheese. So, you know, get over it, really. People whine about it and go, yeah, but it doesn't want to go out. Don't you get stringy cheese anymore? Get your priorities in order.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some scientists in the Redwood Laboratory that are sort of working on that now.
That's not my favourite cheese, Lee. No. My favourite is the cheddar style. Mm. And that goes very well on a bit of toast with a little blob of red sauce to keep it company.
The cheddar and cranberries cheese, Lee, is my absolute favourite.
Yes, I'm not wild about that one.
This is it. There's lots of different types for different tastes.
They've brought quite out a few types of that cheesely now.
This is nice and creamy, actually. I'm quite like this with the cheating chicken, I think. Make a
it's
nice
spreadable. It looks spreadable, doesn't it? You could sort of...
It Dairy Lee. It's like a nice version of Dairy Lee.
Cheese triangles.
I'd say that was an insult, to be honest, but I'd best be careful.
I did say a nice version of Dairy Lee.
Yes. All right, so... Next up, and this is more of the stuff. I think it's the last thing we've got, mate.
This is what I've been waiting for.
This is more, and this is the way you save the best till last, because it's something that doesn't try and be anything else. This is actually the Veggie Deli falafel, which if people have never had falafel before, it's actually like chickpea sort of patties,
chickpea and coriander.
Yeah. And I remember going into a supermarket in South Manchester and asking for falafel, and everyone looked at me bizarrely. And I thought, you know, when you get used to things, and I think it's like with a vegan diet, you do substitute certain things and it doesn't become sort of weird and unusual. But what do you think of these?
I'll pass, because I dropped my falafel stand on the way here, so I'm quite stuffed.
Talking about substitutes, I still remember going to a big, huge food market in America and asking to buy some millet, and they took me to the bird food section.
These are a lot better for you, aren't they?
What, falafels?
These, yeah.
Then what? Then the other
chickpea,
things?
Yeah, they're less processed, aren't they? Just sort of pulverised chickpeas. Mm.
They're really flavoursome, aren't they? They've got gorgeous flavour.
Yep. There we go.
I'm really enjoying myself.
Excuse me.
More sausages.
There are some more. Do you want me to send them a lot back along?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Well, we'll keep eating the food.
And should this Thank is you. Quite a good point, that the fact that we've been talking about substitutes, which leads us back to the, question, doesn't it, that we're going to ask the competition question.
It does. And the question for the competition, one of the prizes is some vouchers that you could spend on these kinds of... substitutes, basically, cheating chicken, cheating ham, and the falafels and things that we've just been tasting. But the question, if you want a chance to win, is what do many vegans often drink as an alternative to cow's milk? And if you know the answer, give us a call in the studio now on 2486767. It's 2486767. Or if you can't get through, or if you're listening online to a repeat, you can enter by email. If you send an email to radio@underthepavement.org and tell us the answer to the question and which prizes you want to be entered in the competition for, because particularly the cake and the beer, you'd have to come to the station in Levantine to collect it. So if you're living in America or Germany or something, then maybe best not trying to win those. So that's radio@underthepavement.org or call us on 2486767.
Yep, and just a reminder what the prizes are. There's CDs from Bob Pyle, Ethical Wear, sort of cosmetics, moisturiser, shower gel, etc. A £25 voucher from Redwood Foods. Zed's Foods, that's a Christmas cake. And then finally, there's the 24 bottles of organic beer from the Freedom Brewery, which is probably a time that we've to play some music, is it?
Yeah, this is about nutrition, I think. It's called Vegan Nutrition. This is Disciples of Discipline.
Carnivorous MCs, best go home and eat some veggies. All you carnivorous MCs, best go home and eat your veggies. All you carnivorous MCs, best go home and eat your veggies. All you carnivorous MCs, best go home and eat your veggies. Nutrition efficient MCs, that's on a mission, eat your vitamin D.
difficult to injure. I'll drink some veggie juice and spruce up my whole morning. Forget about those rumors that a vegan's diet is boring. Cause I'm touring the world, enduring every obstacle and every chance I get. I stop and eat some vegetables, whether it's turnips and rutabagas or parsnips or sweet potatoes. It seems to come out tasty when it's mixed with grains that are made organically. I used to get bronchitis chronically until I consciously decided to eliminate dairy from my diet. If it's high in fructose or even close, then I won't buy it. Won't even try it if I can't read the ingredients. With expedience, I'd like to impede the progress of genetic modification. It's past the point of looking back. These tactics are whack and the strategy's corrupted. To be abrupt, it's gotta stop. Like quit fucking with my food before I chop you with my slicer.
Lyrical dicer.
Serving up stir fries so spicy that I might be labeled dangerous. I wonder who the stranger is in this existence. Insistence brings resistance. What we need is assistance to close the distance between the help and the needy. Quit acting seedy and free yourself. Efficient MCs that's on a mission.
Eat your vitamins and minerals.
Body, mind, and spiritual.
Nutrition efficient MCs
that's on a mission.
Eat your vitamins and minerals.
Body, mind, and spiritual.
Broccoli, cabbage, squash, and cauliflower. These are some of the vegetables I eat to obtain my power. Brown rice, quinoa, barley, and couscous. Just some of the grains that my body puts to use. Strawberries, apples, pears, and bananas. A small example of fruits that keep me on point like ball peen hammers. I eat a protein made of wheat, gluten, or soybean. Get it all organic so as to keep my temple clean. And when I wanna heal, I use herbs, flowers, and roots. Vegan nutrition is the lifestyle that I choose. So let me break it down, the intestinal metropolis, like acidophilus. From the mouth to the stomach, food plummets through the esophagus. Vitamins digested, your health is manifested. If you make this investment, your life can be erected. As monument testament of how your spirit can be protected. Know that your physical frame and your soul are connected.
Nutrition efficient MCs, that's on a mission. Eat your vitamins and minerals, body, mind, and spiritual.
Nutrition efficient MCs,
that's on a mission. Eat your vitamins and minerals,
body, mind, and spiritual.
All you carnivorous MCs, best go home and eat your veggies.
All you
carnivorous MCs, best go home and eat your veggies.
All you carnivorous MCs,
best go home and eat your veggies.
Carnivorous MCs,
let's go home and eat your veggies.
Cycles of discipline.
Vegan nutrition.
Welcome back to Under the Pavement on All FM 96.9, or on the web at allfm.org, or even underthepavement.org. And that last track was Disciples of Discipline, and that was called Vegan Nutrition. And the reason we played that song is because today's show is a bit different from normal, because it's World Vegan Day tomorrow. We're doing a vegan special. We've got three vegan guests in the studio, and we're playing tracks from different vegan musicians and talking about different aspects of veganism. So we've got Kathy from the Vegan Society here, Yonny from Vegan Fitness, and Helen from Manchester Animal Protection. And we're going to be talking to Yonny now from veganfitness.net, which is a website that he runs.
Yep, and it's sort of one of the things sort of that when you talk about veganism, you get, I think, the either side, people either say, oh, if you're vegan, you must be really healthy. Mm. On the other hand, you also get people who say, oh, if you're vegan, you must be really unhealthy. So what's the Vegan Fitness website about then?
Well, it's really to try to create an online community of vegans who are into different kind of sports, because you know that while number of vegans is going up and up and up all the time, and we're not so isolated than used to be, still people who are really into different kind of sports, they're still few and far between. So this kind of like internet is a good way of creating that kind of online community. So it is essentially a message board. Forum, online forum with hundreds and hundreds of members. I think it's 1,500, about 1,500 members now. People chatting about different kind of things from all kind of backgrounds and fitness levels. Some people just want to get a little bit healthier, you know, doing a little bit of some sort of exercise. Actually, there's a lot of members who don't do any kind of exercise, but and try to kind of like learn from each other. There's a section about diet and nutrition. There's a section about for new vegans who are hoping to go vegetarian or vegan, and it's really about mutual aid and creating kind of like empowering community where not only you get help and inspiration, but you inspire others and help others and share knowledge.
Yeah, and I think it probably answers some of the questions that, you know, getting back to the typical vegan idea, one sort of idea of vegan you have is that they're often, you know, a bit sickly looking, a bit sort of anemic looking, etc. But on the other hand, there are a number of sort of sports people, and I think if you read the vegan magazine every now and again, there are highlights of like, you know, either bodybuilders or weight trainers or runners who actually, you know, live a vegan diet and actually exposing the fact that it is beneficial for what they do.
Especially among the endurance athletes, you know, say things like long-distance runners. There's a lot of exceptionally good athletes, vegan athletes in those areas. Things like bodybuilding and powerlifting and strength sports, that's the other end of the spectrum. That's not yet so common. I think there's a lot of cultural issues maybe involved, you know, why vegans maybe are not so keen in these sports. But there's a lot of good strength athletes as well now coming up, actually international powerlifting level. Still few and far between, but you know, getting there. And as we go along, you know, breaking stereotypes. Same thing with me. I'm one of the biggest guys in my gym, and you know, all these younger guys come to me and ask about advice, and then they ask me about dietary advice, and then they get shocked because I just tell them to eat more nuts or something, so it's really just like was mentioned earlier. It's really about creating that diversity of things, so to show that if you go vegan, you're not really limiting your choices. Granted, it is more difficult in a way that the all the mainstream advice for athletes is all very animal product based, so which highlights the reason why these kind of websites like veganfitness.net is needed.
But if you look in some of the sort of more health food shops in sort of city centres, then you do get a whole array of sort of products that are for bodybuilding, and so a lot of those would be sort of probably non-vegetarian, non-vegan.
There's the odd vegan thing there among them, but a lot of it is whey-based. These protein powders and so on, they are whey-based. They are vegan protein powders as well, which are either soy protein isolate or pea protein isolate. In America, there's more things like hemp protein, rice protein, and other kind of protein isolates. But the there's a lot of vegan products out there. But again, it takes a little bit more research to find out what they are.
Yeah, but I think that's probably the benefit of having like a discussion forum where people can actually post stuff and say, this is the activity that I'm doing. Can you offer advice and support and where to go and what have other people done?
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what the experience level is. If you are interested in something, then it is quite a friendly environment to ask advice and a bit of motivation.
Yeah, and just a couple of final questions. It's an international sort of, well, the people who visit it, it's from across the world, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we have like people from like Middle Eastern countries and so on, which is also actually quite exciting because veganism used to be quite in like a Western European countries, but now there's been quite a massive growth of veganism in places like Latin America, Middle East, and especially the ex-Soviet Union countries. And, so it is an international community.
Yeah, and did you have an event? Was there a guy thinking you had an event in Manchester?
Yes, actually, yeah. Last summer we had a vegan fitness week. We did kind of like a trial run of how would this kind of like a specifically vegan sports event work. So we had 30 people from, I think it was 7 different countries. And that was really a trial run. So next year we're coming back bigger and better, probably in Sweden, actually.
Yeah. So. Is that where you're from, by the way?
No, I'm from Finland, but close enough.
Yeah.
You know, a couple hundred miles here.
Yeah. Okay, so we've talked a bit about fitness, but I know that you're also interested in the sort of the politics of veganism, how veganism can link in with sort of radical sort of anarchist sort of politics, which we're going to talk about later, if that's all right?
Okay.
So, and also what we'll talk about a little bit in the later is we've got Helen. And she's going to be talking about animal rights campaigns in Manchester. And there's also a World Vegan Day event tomorrow. Well, it's only tomorrow if you're listening live to the show. If you're listening in a week's time, you've missed it. And that's going to be happening at the basement.
24 Lever Street.
Yep.
6 till 9.
Yep. And what we probably should say is a reminder of the competition. It says...
Shall we recap on what people can win then? Because I've forgotten already.
Ooh, there's lots of stuff.
24 bottles of beer... I know that, from the Freedom Brewery, vegan organic beer.
Yeah, apparently it's a yuppie beer as well. It's what they all drink down in the sort of cafe bars of Soho and West London. Yeah.
Oh, so you could win a crate of yuppie beer.
Yeah.
You could win Bob Pyle's Apples and Oranges CD, which we played a track from earlier on.
Yeah.
There's a Christmas cake from Zed's Foods, conditioner, soap, moisturiser and various... toiletries from Ethical Wares, and there's the Redwoods food voucher for £25, and that's it.
Yeah,
but that's it.
It's nice when you have a competition that you'll actually like to win yourself, but unfortunately, we've been strict with ourselves, I'm not going to win it.
No.
Can we enter when we get home?
You shouldn't, really.
No, that's not fair, is it? But then again, if you use a pseudonym, you could enter as many times as you like. Yeah.
You got to be in it to win it. Sorry, I don't know what came over me.
It's like sitting next to Bruce Forsyth, you know. All right.
Top, middle, or bottom? Oh, no, that's someone else. Anyway, if you want to be in with a chance of winning any of those prizes, there's a simple question to answer, which is, what do many vegans use as an alternative to cow's milk? And if you know the answer, give us a call in the studio on 248-6767, 248-6767, or drop us an email to radio@underthepavement.org, and we're going to draw the winners out in 2 weeks' time and announce them on the next show, so you've got a chance to enter if you're listening online to a repeat, or if you want to email from work tomorrow or something if you can't get through on the phones tonight. So if you know the answer to that question, it's 248-6767.
And just to say, we have had.
You've been on that beer?
No, unfortunately not. We didn't do a beer tasting session because we just thought it would go whatever. What was I trying to say? We've had people entering. We've had a number of. So if you have tried ringing up and not got through, keep on trying to ring, especially when playing some music.
Which we're about to do. We'll be having a quick What's On guide at 10 o'clock, but first.
Can I just say something though before whatever? I've got my notes now.
That's not in the script.
Yeah, but I had to write it down. You say, well, the next track we're going to play is by a singer-songwriter called Rob Johnson, who's is a singer-songwriter, and he did put out a CD of songs all about animals on sort of Ethical Wares. But we asked him to do something for the show, and rather than actually send something in, what do you call it, audio format, he texted something to me when he was off on a tour to do in Germany. So this is a text I got off him when he was on the ferry. And it basically, I'm not going to read it through it all, but it just says, I've been a vegan since 1989, and I'm a vegan because I'm opposed to cruelty. I'm not always zealous about this. And it just says, what persuaded me in the first place to be a veggie was reading Gandhi's autobiography, which talks about living with minimum cruelty. To put it simply, the bastards who treat us like shit also treat animals and or our planet like shit, or worse. So whilst it is hard, as someone living in a capitalist urban Western situation, to ever have clean hands, I hope my veganism means I do a little less damage to the planet. And I think that links in, you know, how Yoni was talking about how, you know, for some people, veganism links into sort of politics and there's that overlap between the two. So shall I shut up now and play Rob Johnson?
This is the animal song.
I'm a little animal. 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 I go moo, 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 moo. I'm a little animal. I go moo, 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 moo. Then the farmer says, surprise, surprise, and he shoots this bolt between my eyes. Then I'm in steak and kidney pies. Boo-hoo, little moo-moo. I'm a little animal, I go oink, 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 oink. I'm a little animal, I go oink, 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 oink. They say I'm dirty, they can talk, they cut my throat to make me pork. Then I'm the bacon on your fork and the ham in your sandwiches. And I never see the sun, I never see the sky, all I do is eat. And I never run around and they fill me full of steroids, then they chop me up for meat. I'm a little animal, I go ba 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 ba. I'm a little animal, I go ba 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 ba. In spring I love to skip about, to the butcher takes my insides out, and serves the rest with spud and sprout and mint sauce as a main course. I'm a little animal, I go cluck, 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 cluck. I'm a little animal, I go cluck, 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 cluck. I can't spread my wings inside this box, they stun me with electric shocks, then steam me till my feathers fall off and stuff breadcrumbs up my bum. And I never see the sun, I never see the sky, and all I do is eat. And I never run around, and they fill me full of steroids, then they chop me up for meat. Ooh. I'm a little animal living in a zoo, 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 zoo. Maybe I'm a donkey or a kangaroo, roo, 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 roo. Then the children say, oh, isn't he sweet? And the abattoir is so discreet when it turns me into burger meat. And the children go yum, yum. I'm a little animal living on the farm, 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 farm. Never doing anybody any harm, 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 harm. Then it's hark, the herald angels sing. The place is full of shepherds and kings. And the next thing you know, you're spending Christmas away in an oven. And I never see the sun and I never see the sky and all I do is eat. And I never run around and they fill me full of steroids. Then they chop me up for meat. I'm a little animal just like you, 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 you. Yes, I'm a little animal just like you, 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 you. And I never see the sun and I never see the sky. Sometimes I wonder why. If Margaret Thatcher can live, why can't I? I'm a little animal. I'm a little animal. I'm a little animal. We're all little animals.
And welcome back. You are listening to the Under the Pavement Vegan Special on OLFM 96.9. And that was Rob Johnson with a track called The Animal Song from a compilation called Maximum Respect. And that goes out to Aidan, Jarvis and Debbie in Levensum.
Aww.
Lovely.
So it's 10 o'clock and at this time we normally do our What's On guide. We've just got a quick one this show because we've got so much to fit in with all our guests. So just a few highlights for the next fortnight really. On Wednesday there's a Solidarity Federation discussion meeting called Fascism Then and Now, and that's at 8:30 at the Hare and Hounds pub on Shude Hill in the city centre.
Yeah, and on Thursday the 3rd, that's the struggle against Shell in Ireland. That's a meeting organised by the Anarchist Federation, and it's from 7:30 in the basement, which is 24 Lever Street, just off Piccadilly Gardens in central Manchester.
And on Saturday the 12th of November, it's the second Bolton Radical Book Fair, and that's on at Bolton Socialist Club on 16 Wood Street from 11 a.m. till 5, and there'll be cheap food and drink available at that.
Yeah, and Sunday the 13th, there's a Manchester Indie Media Film Night, which is at the Dance House Theatre on Oxford Road, just opposite the BBC. And the main film is A Letter to the Prime Minister, which is Joe Wilding's diary from Iraq. And there will also be films, animations and information about ID cards. That starts at 7pm and it's free or a donation.
And that concludes our quick What's On guide. There's probably lots more interesting events going on in the next fortnight. If you want to find out what's going on, the basement on 24 Lever Street is a good place to either ask someone there or look for leaflets and flyers and posters about sort of political events that are going on in Manchester.
And whilst you mentioned book fairs as well, we should mention the fact that the Manchester Anarchist Book Fair takes place on the 3rd of December at the basement.
Are you bringing the sound system?
That was an in-joke, I think.
Anyway, back to the vegan special. I'm just trying to find my questions for Helen. We're talking to Helen now from Manchester Animal Protection. We'll be talking to Yoni again later about veganism and anarchism. But first, Helen, what animal rights campaigns are Manchester Animal Protection involved in at the moment? What's the main campaign that's going on?
We support the national campaigns such as Speak, which has successfully halted the development of a proposed primate lab in Oxford, and we've supported the New Church campaign and any national campaign we try and support. But we mainly operate in a local level in and around the northwest. And what's been keeping the group busy lately have been the circuses, the animal circuses. There are far fewer of those in Britain at the moment. There are 7 as opposed to 16 10 years ago. And 3 of those have hit the northwest all at the same time recently. Maybe this is tactical because they know we can't picket them all, but Bobby Roberts came to Warrington. Bobby Roberts Circus has the last elephant in a British circus. She's a 52-year-old arthritic elephant called Annie. So we made sure we leafleted the public to raise awareness about her plight and to ask people to boycott them. Now, this is a good strategy and it works. Zippo's came to Lytham up Blackpool Way. Zippo's has horses and dogs and birds, so domesticated animals really, and all the animal circuses have domesticated animals as well, and they spend about 8 months a year being carted around in beast wagons and don't see the light of day very much. So although we might think they're alright because they're only dogs and birds, they do have a miserable time of it, so we try and support those. Peter Jolly Circus has been... Sparky the Clown's been getting a bit sweaty lately. I think what's happened was they're angry because they know that the campaigns are very successful and far fewer people are attending these circuses. The atmosphere in the big top tent must be just so cringeworthy, really, because these tents are massive and they're less than a third full. They give away free tickets. Most of the people in there on Thursday night, I don't think, paid. So they've been there for a week and they're staying in Jolly's, this is. They're in Blackrod up Chorley Way, in some dim field, because thankfully most councils have banned animal circuses, so they need some dodgy bit of private land. And they've been getting quite aggressive because of the success of the campaign. They don't like us leafleting the public, trying to persuade them to turn round and go and do something else with their leisure time. And Sparky the Clown actually punched somebody who was taking photographs. He started off treading on people's feet, walking up to them and treading on their feet and saying, "You're getting in my way," when he's walked up to them, so how can they be getting in his way? And then one woman tried to photograph this and he just punched her and her lip came out. It's very swollen and unfortunately he just got off with a caution, which is mad really, because the evidence was quite compelling. Although he was fed up because he was being filmed, somebody else actually had a pinhole camera in their buttonhole, so filmed him being aggressive. This circus has got an American bear, again the last bear in a British circus, who is just paraded around on a lead and collar and gets humiliated by the very few punters in there. Llamas as well, they should be in South American mountains really, you know, they're all a long way from home, and we say that to people when they leave the circus, and sometimes they jeer at us a little bit and go, "Oh, that wasn't cruel," and I go, "Well, you're going home now, they're never going to see home again." Now we need people to come to Peter Jolly's circus picket, because is sticking around for another week, and that's quite unusual for a circus. They normally stay placed just for a week at a time, and it might be because of they've been, you know, a couple of them been getting into trouble with the police to save face. They might be wanting to stick around. So the next demo is on Thursday night, and we're looking to pick at the 6:30 show. And with it being a lot of traffic at that time, we're looking to leave Manchester at 5 o'clock in the evening, and we do need bodies for this because they are getting quite shirty at the moment, and just to maybe stick up for ourselves and show them, you know, that we're not frightened of them, really. We won't be intimidated, we won't be bullied. If you want to come to that demo, if you just contact Manchester Animal Protection at mapsoc.org.uk for details of transport and how to come there and support us.
So if someone's thinking of coming to support the picket and leaflet people going to the circus, what can they expect? I mean, you didn't get a very friendly response from the clown. What are the punters generally like? Are people friendly, or do you get a mixture of reactions to you?
On the whole, it's a pleasurable experience in that a lot of people turn away. What the animal circuses have done now, they've altered their marketing tactics in that they don't advertise the fact that they've got animals. Animals no longer feature on their posters, so sometimes punters drive in, see the banner and go, oh, I didn't realise, and then they turn around, and that's quite satisfying, really. And that's why they're so fed up with us, because if we weren't there, once they'd paid their money, you know, the sort of social influences of the situation would make them just go in anyway and carry on as paid customers. So, and you get the odd divish comment, but that's actually quite rare now, I have to say. Yeah, it's majority of it is the public are very supportive. It's probably better to call the police before we get there, as much for our own protection actually, because they're being such violent freaks at the moment. So they're there to sort of make sure that they can at least observe what's going on.
And another campaign that you've been involved in recently is the anti-fur campaigns, and some of those have been quite successful recently, I think.
We have. We've had a lot of success with the fur situation. We won Zara. That was a particularly worrying situation because the fur coats at Zara was at high street prices. So instead of being £500 and £600 for a garment like at Harvey Nichols or Selfridges, they were at 50 and 60 quid, which is what some people pay, you know, consider reasonable for a jacket anyway. So, and when I was challenging fur wearers in the street, I actually recognised they were Zara garments. So we really needed to nip that in the bud straight away, which we did within a matter of months, really, by encouraging the public to write and complain and boycott, which worked. We did very well. Harvey Nichols, dealing with a much wealthier company there, but I always knew we'd win it, and we did. So that took about 6 months of picketing them every Saturday. Selfridges, we won since I was last here talking to you. Selfridges was our campaign of the moment then. And again, that just took about another 6 months. Once we'd done Harvey Nichols, we knew we'd do Selfridges. And then, of course, there was Snow and Rock, which, as predicted, it was just easy to pick off that one, you know. We had a lot of support. It was brilliant. We made sure there was a presence there at least every Saturday, sometimes a Sunday. As it was the holiday season around Christmas, we managed to maintain a presence a couple of days in the week as well. And we had this beautiful high-visibility banner, which just served as a great big warning to keep away from the shop, because with it being situated on Princess Parkway, there's like 100 vehicles motorway-bound past there every minute, you know, so it was a big don't shop here, you know, even people who didn't come in or even intend to come in will change their mind about that one. So that was great. So what we're up to now fur wise is we have three shoe shops. This is the fur trade dipping its toe back, trying to wheel its way back by putting little bits of fur on their shoes and boots and things. And it feels a bit odd, really, because you're outside a leather shop and you're talking about fur, which of course leathers fur with the fluffy bits rubbed off. But from a tactical point of view, targeting the fur trade specifically, which is what CAFT does as an anti-fur organisation. We looked at these three leather shoe shops, Moda in Palais, Shoon and Kirk Geiger, all of which were conveniently situated really close to each other in the posh end of town, St Anne's Square. We had a demo there when we had the ARC weekend, the Animal Rights Coalition weekend. So there was quite a lot of people from all over the country had come to that meeting. So we managed to drag them out for the demos in the morning. So the three shops were picketed at the same time. Moda and Pele have agreed not to put any more fur in. Shoon are on the brink of giving us a fur-free policy. They're on the brink of putting it in writing. Kurt Geiger are unwilling to negotiate at the moment, so they're now our primary target, and we're going to make sure it's a national target as well. So the other local groups throughout Britain are going to be targeting Kurt Geiger as well. So that's where we're at the moment. So please come to the demos on a Saturday. They usually start at about 12 or 1 o'clock till about 3 or 4. And we end up in the basement for something nice to eat. It's a nice group. It's a non-hierarchical, grassroots, friendly group. And we're just always welcoming people who want to get involved, if no matter how much they can do, a little or a lot. A little bit of leafleting, then come along. It's a really good thing to do. It's a good way to boost your self-esteem when you want to help animals, because it works. You know, we're picking off these fur targets one by one. We're getting closer to our goal of Manchester being a fur-free zone.
So that's in St Anne's Square every Saturday until you win the campaign, is it?
Absolutely, yeah. Kurt Geiger, it's opposite that hideous Disney store. Can't miss it.
One other thing that you're involved in doing is putting on sort of events to promote veganism, and there's one happening at the basement tomorrow night. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that? What kind of things?
Yeah, that's happening. What the group's all about as well, really, is promoting veganism. That's a very important part of what we do. By providing examples, really, of how easy it is to be vegan, because some people might be curious about the sort of food that you've been eating in here tonight, and then they just won't maybe spend a bit of money and try it. So if we sort of put it on display and let people eat it for nothing, then we're hoping to... it's a good tactic in successfully weaning them off somebody else's fatty breast milk, which is just a bizarre practice anyway. And then, of course, eggs. What could we say about eggs? You know?
What did you say last time you were on the show?
I was quite tame, really, wasn't I?
You didn't say menstrual ejaculations last time.
Menstrual ejaculations of hens, yeah. Right. But milk's my big bugbear, though. It's worse than meat, you know. Cow's milk offends me more than meat does. I'd rather they slit my throat than sexually assaulted me and inserted tools containing sperm into my vagina and enforced pregnancy on me. Nobody should endure enforced pregnancy. Nobody, whether that body has four legs or two, nobody should know the horror of that. And then, of course, theft of the child repeatedly until you're slaughtered at 4 years of age when you'd live till 25, and you're probably pregnant while you're being slaughtered. So yeah, MAP campaigns for veganism.
Can I just mention Manchester Vegan Society at this point, or is that throw your schedule out? It's just that Manchester Vegan Society, it was started by Keely Jolliffe, local vegan. She's lovely, but she's now moved away. I've just taken over the running of it. And this meets at the last Saturday of the month at 3 p.m. in the basement. So if you've been to one of the MAPS demos, you're always welcome to join us in the basement afterwards. And they're a really just friendly crowd if you want to sort of meet vegans and you're getting into veganism. So, sorry for the shameless plug.
I should also mention the fact that, as we have mentioned the basement quite a bit, if people do want to find out about vegan sort of food, then it is an old vegan sort of cafe there. And also, as well as that, some of the other things we're going to talk about later, like the politics and stuff, it is an interesting place to sort of find out what is going on in Manchester away from the sort of mainstream sort of party political sort of McDonald's, Nikes, etc. of this world. Yes.
So the event tomorrow night, am I right that there's free food?
You're under no illusion there. You're absolutely bang on.
Excellent.
Do you want to give a time?
It's 6 till 9, and there are speakers as well and films to watch, as well as the free nam-nams.
Yeah. Nam-nams?
Nam-nam-nam.
That's a new one for me.
That's what we've all been doing, namming. Namathon.
More sausages and cheating chicken tomorrow
lambing,
night.
Not
then.
Lambing.
Yeah. Should we remind people about the competition?
Well, we were talking about milk beforehand. I'm sure there's lots of people who think, well, if vegans can't drink cow's milk, what's more natural than drinking cow's milk?
The fatty secretions of the bovine mammary gland. Are you kidding me?
Exactly. So what can they have instead? That's a question, isn't it?
That is the question. Yeah. What do many vegans drink instead of cow's milk?
Yep. And are we going to remind people what the prizes are? There's a Bob Pyle, a vegan singer-songwriter. He's got copies of his apples and oranges CDs to give away. Ethical Wares, a company down in Wales somewhere, are giving foam bath, moisturiser, shower gel, shampoo, conditioner and soap. Redwood Foods are giving a voucher for £25. Zed's Foods are giving a Christmas cake. So you can be dead organised, can't you? Have a Christmas cake in November. And there's beer, so you can forget about Christmas completely. And that's sort of 24 bottles of organic beer from the Freedom Brewery. And the question is,
what do many vegans drink instead of cow's milk?
And if you're listening live, the number to ring is 0161 248 6767. Or if you prefer to email, or you listen to the online repeat of this, then email radio@underthepavement.org. I nearly forgot that bit.
And we'll announce the winners on next fortnight's show.
Yep.
And we'll be talking to our guests again about the politics around veganism and veganism and anarchism and whether there's a connection there after this quick track.
Stop consuming animals.
Different species of carnage grown up out the stock type of factories, the farm. So I know as well as anyone, it does less good than harm. To be honest with our conscience, feed by lies. You cannot deny that meat is still murder, dairy is still rape. And I am still as stupid as anyone, but I know my mistake. And I have recognized my former.
And that was Propaganda, a political punk band from Canada, who've got a new album out, but that was a track from a while ago called Meat Is Still Murder. And just to remind you that you are listening to Under the Pavement on All FM 96.9, and this week's show is slightly different because it's World Vegan Day tomorrow, that's November the 1st, and we're doing a vegan special show, so we've been playing tracks from vegan artists and talking about different aspects of veganism. And just to say that I did email the record company, G7, over in Canada, and I got an email back saying, of course, everyone in Propaganda is a vegan, which is good, isn't it, when people say, of course, why do you ask such a stupid question? Well, there we go, so that's Propaganda even. So now we're going to be talking about veganism and anarchism, and it's like, what's the connection? So it's Yoni.
Yeah.
That's indeed Webb, isn't it? It's Jeremy
in
Paxman
double role
Road.
Here,
yeah.
In a double role here.
Yeah. So it's sort of saying, sort of, for most people, they can see politics is one thing and animal rights is another, and they don't actually mix. But obviously, yeah. You'd sort of say something different.
Yeah, well, from my personal perspective, I've always been, always have kind of like a class-based politics, coming from like a socialist background, and then getting more into anarchism and class struggle anarchism, so I've always been involved in things like trade union and other kind of like a say like class based mass action politics, and then at the same time I've had this vegan thing going. Now I never saw any kind of contradiction there. I've seen veganism more as a kind of like a cultural change, in the same way than in things like trade union politics and in working class politics, we combat a lot of different kind of issues surrounding our behavior and our attitude to others. You know, we combat things like racism and sexism and things like that. I've kind of like saw the veganism as part of that. That's just the way I show respect and solidarity to beings which are in a weaker position, you know, in this case non-human animals. So I've never saw the veganism as kind of like ethical hand washing, in the sense that I try to be personally pure, that, you know, I can go around and say, oh, I'm not taking part to animal abuse, but more as a kind of like being part of a cultural change, you know, being part of a mass movement of people who are kind of like creating a new kind of dietary culture, a new kind of attitude towards animals. So it is for me it's kind of like this never have had any kind of conflict.
Yeah, it's just that one of the things that comes up of, you know, I've had experience where you try and talk about sort of veganism and sort of anarchism or whatever, sort of community politics, and often you get the thing of saying, well, veganism is very nice for sort of wealthy middle class people, who are sort of nice and liberal, but sort of for working class people, they're more concerned with feeding the kids and sort of laying on the guilt trip of saying you need to sort of avoid all this is like impossible. So how I can open this up to, I think, to
absolutely
everyone,
absolutely,
sort of, and say, because that's the key thing, isn't it, that sometimes the whole veganism bit and animal rights is seen as being quite a, you know, a nice middle class thing to do. And if we're going along, if we get Johnny to answer that first, and then Kathy and sort of Helen of saying, you know, how does it link in? Because you often do get the issue of saying, if you're concerned with veganism, by inference, you're not concerned with humans. So I'll throw that one to you first.
And then, there's actually a certain element of truth in that, that it's kind of like viewed as a kind of like individualistic and kind of middle class thing. But if we look at our dietary habits in the past few decades, really, it's been largely dictated by you know, large multinational companies really changing dramatically the way working class people eat today. You know, if we turn back the clock about 50 years ago, people were eating whole foods, you know, lots of more like a whole vegetables, and then of course the meat and fish things were there as well. But the you know, this has dramatically changed within past decades. So I actually see veganism as kind of like a reclaiming your own right to dictate your own kind of like dietary culture, and you making it more of a conscious decision rather than just being pushed around by these companies. So and you know, it has that nice added benefit of being healthy choice as well, and rejecting a lot of this rubbish which is being fed to us at the moment. So, and it doesn't always only limit itself to vegan issues. You know, we're talking about genetically modified foods and so on as well.
Well, 2 points really. One is that I know loads and loads and loads of vegans, some on very low income, some with feeding their children on benefits. I'm on benefits myself. We're not safe for middle class. I said we come from all walks of life, and we do. The second point is that studies and various research has shown that people who support animal causes are far more likely also to support human and environmental causes. And when you think about it, that's a no-brainer. I mean, people who exploit the environment are also more likely to exploit people and more likely to exploit animals. If you're cruel in one way, you're usually cruel in other ways too. And also, if you're compassionate in one way, you're usually compassionate. Not always. As I said, there are people who won't be interested in all the different reasons for being vegan or whatever in the politics of it, but lots of people are, and there's a very strong case for that, I think.
I'd like to reiterate that, actually. You took the words out of my mouth. You know, I think of Benjamin Zephaniah is one example. You know, I remember him laughing on the Vegan Society video saying it's not all about posh upper middle class people, it's beans on toast, you know, it's diet on a budget. You know, you can be vegan, and if you just think about, if you just shop at a fruit and vegetable shop, you know, that are very, very cheap, you know, you can be vegan without much expense. And I know, in fact, the majority of vegans I know don't come from affluent backgrounds. So
I'd agree with that.
I'm not too sure of that. Of that perspective altogether myself.
It's in one of the stereotypes we're trying to get rid of, because it's not true.
Yeah, actually, the point was that was made about people who abuse animals, so like to exploit the environment and humans and so on. This is where my political background comes in, as in I explained it as a symptom of capitalism rather than just some people being nasty to animals or just kind of like want to destroy the environment. So there's like strong economic and hierarchical structures behind these things that what causes these problems. So that's like one political view of veganism, and of course capitalism, what it is, you can't boycott capitalism. I mean, we live in a society which the economic structures are what they are, which brings in this collective mass action of and a class-based politics, you know. But vegans come from all kind of political backgrounds, so not only diehard anarchists. I would actually say maybe there's not that many diehard anarchists among vegans, but people come from all kind of political backgrounds, though it has to be said that people's politics are usually quite green and left-leaning, mm. because the whole issue about compassion and awareness about this issue go hand in hand with mm. that kind of attitude. Mm.
Yeah, so there is a leaflet sort of floating around. I don't know if you were involved in that at all.
Oh, yeah, there's more and more material coming on mm. now, actually, about trying to explain the kind of, like, economic reasons of animal abuse and mm. and then veganism as a one response to it. And there's... Basement has been mentioned so many times here, but, you know, there's a leaflet there called... what was it called? It's, veganism and anarchism?
I think the one I've got is the same one.
Yeah, that's the one.
Why anarchist vegan?
Why anarchist vegan, yeah. So if you have seen Vegan Society's Why Vegan, then that complements mm. it quite nicely. Yeah. Why anarchist vegan? Vegan Society's Why Vegan is, of course, aimed at the general public, anyone really, so, and tries to kind of like stay away from any kind of political issues. So that complements it quite nicely, because that's tried to do exactly the opposite. It's tried to do a hard-hitting political analysis of what's going on in our food production at the moment.
Yeah, and I think getting back to the point, there isn't this idea of the typical vegan being mm. this, that and the other, but I think for a lot of people, it's like things are interconnected, and I think, like you said, it's like we've mentioned the basement quite a few times mm. so far, and probably one of the reasons is that it is one of the few places in Manchester where you can find out about alternative and radical ideas, and there's a bookshop there and free internet access, and there is a vegan cafe there, and it probably is because there's all links and connections mm. that sort of feed in together, if you sort of mean, of people thinking a bit differently.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
I don't know if there's a question there. It's like at these meetings where people say... and rant for half an hour saying, what was the question? No, just like my own voice. But anyway, I think there was something I was going to say, but I forget, so do you want to say something?
Should we play some music, see if you can remember while we play a track?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
All right then, well, this is Active Slaughter.
Gladman said today it won't let policy be dictated by blackmailers. The rather awkward fact is that Barry Horn's demand for a royal commission is not one of the outrageous excesses of animal rights extremism. In fact, the government itself promised one, before it came into government, that is. Determined to capitalise on the increasingly broad church of animal rights supporters, it published this leaflet. New Labour would mean a new life for animals, and a royal commission which would review the effectiveness and justification for animal experiments.
Was given 18 years by government for that shit. The judge said he's a dangerous off. You're the danger worthless prick. In the prison cell, thinking what to do next. Can't give up, you won't give up. You know he's gonna do his best. He's gonna excise the lies, expose the fraud. A lifeless pre-election pledge. Said they hold a royal commission on this word. Barbaric. Did this section, did they get the bench, did they fuck? So Barry had to try his luck. Labour lies, Barry dies, still with us and by our side. Won't give up, won't give in the end we shall win. 135 days and the government agreed to talk. A light was seen, but then it went out. Typical of Labour, that's all, not more. For 46 days, yet again he gets nowhere. Just for issues to be raised. Society weak, feels betrayed, but knows he's got as a poor hand price. Another hard strike follows this. This time he won't be treated like this. Straight to the end, the time is best. He had to honour that pre-election pledge. Life alive, Barry dies. Still with us and by our side. Won't give up, won't give in.
A lot of people that talk about doing it, but very few that actually do it. Barry Horn is someone who actually did it.
I've not seen butchers carrying carcasses of dead animals, but it's not that totally offensive to me. I'm revolting. That's totally offensive to me. I'm revolting.
Labour lies, Barry died, still with us and by our side. Won't give up, won't give in. Yet another 6 days went on, still nothing got fucking done.
in for the final kill. Said he'll never go through with it. Heard he sold a few papers, an actual fucking thrill. In the end, Barry died in prison. Now there's got to be complete anarchism. We won't get Barry Horn. We will liberate, we have sworn.
And that was a bit of hardcore anarchist punk from Active Slaughter, who I think split up last year. And that was from their CD, Ava Butchers. And that was from a track called Labour Lied and Barry Died, which was about Barry Horn, the animal rights activist. Yep. And sort of one of the key things we've been talking about, well, the thing we have been talking about is about veganism sort of throughout the show. And it will be quite good as a final thing before we round up, just saying, so as we've got, we've actually got six vegans in the studio, but we've got three vegans who are the guests. And we're saying, so how has veganism made a difference to your life? Who, I don't know who wants to start. Do you want to say who's going to start? Is it Kathy first?
Okay. Well, a very big difference to me. I mean, I've got arthritis and fibromyalgia, and 5 years ago I could only walk a few very painful steps. And thanks to, certainly in part to the change in diet, I can now, well, I walked here tonight, not easily, but I did. And that's made a massive difference just to me personally. And if anyone's in any doubt about this, just please get in contact with vegans, please, or me or any of us.
Yeah. And it just remind me that it might be useful as well at the end of this to sort of remind, we're going to remind people about the event at the basement, but I think there are sort of website addresses we can give out. Is there one for the Manchester Vegans group?
There's a couple. Yeah. There's manveg@yahoogroups.com, and there's manchester-vegan-society@yahoogroups.com, or there's me, jehanine@ntlworld.com.
Yeah. Okay. So then, Yoni.
Yeah, what was the question, actually?
It was a good question. Sausage. I don't know who thought about it, but it was, what difference has veganism made to yourself, and what difference is being vegan?
Well, probably for me personally, because it's a political choice, so it wasn't so much of the individual choice, as in, like, the great health benefits was mentioned. I mean, that's just fantastic. But the for me, it was always the political choice, so... I kind of like thought that, okay, your average meat eater eats about 85 animals a year, you know, so that makes it quite concrete. So I'm just thinking, like, my contribution to that is that I'm not eating those animals. If you're alone in this, thinking about yourself alone, then, okay, that might not sound so much, but, you know, there's, you know, 10, 100,000 and, you know, loads more vegans out there, and when you start adding up those animals, we can see how concretely it changes the food production. And, well, since I'm a powerlifter, I probably would be eating about 300 or 400 animals a year if I was a meat eater, and like many of my training partners unfortunately do. So in that sense, it has made a huge political difference. Personally, not so much more. I mean, veganism is not something, you know, once you get used to it, the first couple of months when you read some of these labels and then you kind of like, it just becomes a second nature. You don't think about it all the time. I'm not like, you know, thinking about veganism all the time, you know. It's just what I eat and how I behave, and it's not such a big deal in a sense, you know. And a lot of, I usually only think about it when someone actually asks about it or questions me in a public situation where you eat or something like that.
And then Helen, finally.
It's made a big difference to me health-wise, and it's just tied in with my personal feelings of not liking bullying, really. I'm appalled by bullying of any sense, and my veganism comes from that. I like being a reasonably healthy advert for a vegan. I mean, I donated a kidney in February to a family member who needed one, and in the 6 months prior to that surgery I had to undergo over 30 blood tests to make sure I was in absolutely tip-top condition, or they wouldn't have enabled me to do that. And I made a point, actually, of not telling the hospital that I was vegan until the day I went in, because I knew that if I did, they'd just be being silly about it, really. And then they whacked me on these iron tablets, which I didn't need. I wasn't anemic. Anemic is more likely to happen when you're a corpse cruncher anyway, isn't it? So it's just about spreading compassion as well. I mean, I give blood as well. I mean, these are the things that, you know, we're stereotyped as we don't care about people, and that's rubbish. The more good vibes we can spread around, the better.
Yep, and as a reminder then, there is an event that if people do want to find out more about sort of veganism, we have been discussing this sort of on the air, but sometimes it's nice to meet sort of other vegans. There's an event tomorrow?
Yes, at the basement, 24 Lever Street, 6 till 9 o'clock, where there are talks about veganism, videos and food to sample as well.
Yep, and just say there will be sort of a warm welcome, because I think that's the other thing that you often get with when people have this preconception of vegans of going, oh, you're doing this, you're doing that, it's sort of...
And terribly cliquey as well, and wagging your finger at...
We love to meet people who want to know more. It's nice when people, even if they meet or they're vegetarians or whatever, if they want to know more, I respect that they're looking for the information. It's a good thing.
Yeah, rather than ranting and carrying on, I wait to be asked and then they'll get it in the neck. Well, you did ask.
I just convert them with cake.
That's a good one. I love feeding people. I love feeding corpse crunches. Yes.
And if you prefer the anonymity of the web, then veganfitness.net might be a good place to start. You don't really have to be into any kind of sports. It's a friendly environment and supportive environment to check out things and get some knowledge.
Yeah, well, OK, well, what we'll do as well is just to mention for the under the payment website, and we'll put a link on to all the different sort of links we've mentioned, because I know when people say, oh, it's just, I couldn't even remember it, Manchester-vegans-whatever, it's like lots of, I lost track after Manchester, but yeah, but we can put that on the website. And there was something else I was going to ask. I've gone quiet, I was talking
for a hint. I don't know what you were thinking, sorry.
Oh. Why not?
Why not? I know. I thought that was what vegans did.
Yeah, vegans are telepathic.
Mind melding. I know. What was it? There was something. We could mention the competition for one last time as we're sort of nearly winding up, but we people best sort of, I think, just email radio@underthepavement.org saying what's what.
Answering the question, what do many vegans drink instead of cow's milk?
And we will be announcing the winners on... when we're back in a fortnight's time.
Yeah. There's still just enough time to call. If you give us a call, like, now, you can still answer on the phones. Otherwise, you'll have to email us at radio@underthepavement.org.
Is that the number up there?
It's 2486767.
That was the one I was reading, 2486767.
So.
That's it.
Got a few minutes left if you want to enter the competition. Yeah. Lots of people seem to want the beer, but there's also Christmas cake and sort of toiletries, soap, conditioner, that kind of stuff. And some £25 worth of food vouchers as well.
And some CDs as well.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, getting back to it, one musician that people often mention when they talk about veganism is Moby, as he's quite a well-known sort of vegan. So are we going to play something by Moby?
We are. This is Moby with Public Enemy and Make Love, Fuck What.
Bye. world order doesn't need us. Call for peace. Better heed us. Dictators, human haters. Hand on the palm, masturbators. Finger on the button, infiltrators. Make love, world peace will save us. Come on, put your hands in the air.
Welcome back. You are listening to Under the Pavement on All FM 96.9, and this is the vegan special. Don't forget, if you want to listen to bits of the show again or the whole thing again, you can go online in the next day or two and visit www.underthepavement.org, where you can listen to this show in its entirety, and you can also listen to highlights from previous shows. And if you forgot what the question was, what was I going to say? What address to email? Then you can visit the website www.underthepavement.org, where we'll post the question on the website and the list of all the things you can win. And the closing date for that is the 14th, is it?
Yeah, November? Did we say 5 o'clock or something?
5 o'clock. It just means that then, if anyone leaves it to the last minute, we'll be able to pick up your email before we come and do the show, which will be from 9 till 11.
And yep. Then we'll announce the winners on air and email you if you are lucky enough to win.
Yeah.
About this time, well, about 10:30, quarter to 11, we normally have Kazan's gig guide. But
yep.
I think we've got a slimmed down version tonight again, haven't we?
We have.
He's not here, and we've had lots of guests in.
We have very much slimmed down. There's only. I mean, and the thing is, we wanted to keep with the vegan sort of theme as well. So next is it Sunday the
6th of November.
6th of November
at the Britain's Protection.
Yep, from 7 till 10. £5 on the door.
It's
a Tour of the Stockbroker, who's I think a poet and I think a bit of a comedian and singer, and he's going to be doing a set supported by, I think, was it someone called Rev Paul?
I thought it was Jesse from Eastfield.
Oh, no,
oh,
and,
yeah,
and Eastfield as well.
And that guy, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And it's just a reminder at this point that if you have an alternative underground radical benefit gig that you would like us to promote, then the website to contact the website is www.underthepavement.org, which should give you an idea of the sort of music that we play and the sort of things we like. And that's where you can also find out how to get in touch with us, either send us your music or send us a list of events. So if you do want us to mention something, then email radio@underthepavement.org, or you can email our gig guide person direct at Kazan, KAZZAN, at underthepavement.org. And if we, I'm just trying to, the other thing that was quite interested is, someone was saying about sending some music by the Unseen, who seem like quite a political band, but they're playing at the Academy with Millencolin, Flogging Molly, Randy, and the band we were talking about was the Unseen. But it's one of these, you know, when you get a big sort of bike company sponsoring a tour.
You know. Let's see.
Yeah. Don't say the name.
I'm not going to, I just want to see.
But it's just this one there, Where Are We Now? It's a bag company from the United States of America. And they've got an Anarchy range of bags as well.
All right.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's £14 in advance on Saturday the 5th, if anyone's interested in that.
Okay.
Or you could just save your money and go to the Attila the Stockbroker gig on Sunday at the Britain's Protection. It's only a fiver and then you have £9 left for beer.
Yep, and I was just going to say that the gig, I think, will be an acoustic gig. And like we said before, one of the people on the bill is Jesse Eastfield. He's going to be doing a solo track. And Jesse from Eastfield is a vegan. And the song we're going to play now is it's a pro-vegetarian anti-meat song called Slam. This is Eastfield. And that was Eastfield with their a track called Slam, dedicated to Jeffrey Palmer, with from their CD. What's the CD called? Last Train to Doomsville?
Yeah.
Yep.
Express Train to Doomsville.
Oh, sorry, not Last Train. That was another CD, obviously. And don't forget, you can catch Jesse from Eastfield live supporting a Taylor stockbroker at the Bitters Protection on Sunday. And I would just like to say as well that there's a few other dates that Eastfield are playing across the Northwest, and we'll try and post them up on the website www.underthepavement.org in the next few days as well. There was something else I was going to post on the website, but I can't think what it was now. But keep checking, because we do have a blog. It's all technical, isn't it? So you can listen online at www.allfm.org, listen to highlights Under the Pavement, or you can subscribe to the Under the Pavement podcast as well, which is dead clever. Don't know how it works, but it sort of does.
Me neither, but you know, I believe it does, yeah.
And we got an email from someone in Salt Lake City who listened online.
We got another email just now.
We did as well, just checking through emails as we are. We've got a correspondent down in, I think it's Timperley or Altrincham, and he says, it sounds really good. And you don't sound shit, which is the big compliment for us, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't read the whole thing.
I know, I'm not going to read the whole thing.
Yeah.
Anyway. No, just bits of it. Highlights. I'm going to try and collect all the reviews that we get and stick them on the website, because that's what proper websites do, don't they?
Even the one that said they're shit.
Yeah, but this, yeah. Yeah. But anyway.
But we're not tonight, so that's good. Thank you.
We're on form.
Excellent.
Yeah? And don't forget that you can listen to it under the pavement every other Friday between 9 and 11 on All FM 96.9.
Don't you mean Monday?
What did you say?
Friday.
I've done quite well so far. I'm going to shut up now because I'm just going to whatever, to pot.
Time for us to go, I think.
Should say next week it's going to be the Northern Wire show.
Yeah, they're back from their holidays.
With their usual eclectic mix of music. And then, we'll be back on the 14th where we'll announce the winners of our competition. If you've wondering what you can win with the competition, if you're only just tuning in waiting for the Miss Ginny show, then check out the Under the Pavement website, www.underthepavement.org, where we have lots of vegan goodies to give away, cake, beer, cosmetics, soap,
and food,
fences,
and CDs,
cuddly toy. I was doing your whatever there. What was his name? Bruce Forsyth. we are losing it.
So, you're not shit. He's going to email in a minute and say, I take that back, you are shit. Miss Ginny should be here at 11 o'clock. I think they're having a Halloween special.
I think they are, with lots of ghoulish sort of music.
And Dave Spears and the Rocket Crew should be keeping you entertained from 1 till 3 this morning.
Yep. And don't forget, sort of this week it was a completely vegan playlist. So if you want to check out the mix of vegan artists we played, what we tried to do as well was not just play sort of anarchist punk, but we covered, I think, bluegrass, dancey, hip hop. What else did we play? Folk.
Yeah, and we're going to end with some hard house.
Yeah, wow. Are you going to introduce this one then?
Yeah, this is Josh Wink, Higher State of Consciousness.
Thank you for listening.
This is the long mix.
Consciousness. Higher than consciousness.